passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. Here, as we do every week, or at least every week that I show up, I kind of missed the summer, but it's been known to happen. But we're back in fall, and we're back in full swing with fall. Last week, we had none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed on the show. And we just tried to catch up from the summer and talk about the chaotic sad and laughable and absurd reality we call politics today. We didn't get very far, so we had Matt come back for round two. So today we are here with Matt Connerton again from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can listen to his Drive Time show 4 to 6 Monday through Friday on 95.3 FM if you are in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, or you can listen to it on IPMNation.com. If you listen to it there, it's live streaming and you can still type in questions or you can call in questions. You can weigh in as Matt and any number of unexpected and diversely different people might show up in his studio.
That is true.
Some spouting endless wisdom and others, well, you just need to buy the big package of toilet paper when they come. Anyway.
That is also true.
Yes. Matt does them all. So anyways, how are you? How are you? What's going on? I have a couple of things that has run across my reality this week that I want to bring up, but I want to check in and see what have been the hot topics. Also, I'm sorry. Call in. We're a call-in show, 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. When you're there, make sure you like the page because I'm a likable guy. My top post right now is about Matt and my show. So if you have any questions and you don't want to call in at 202-570-7057, you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin and post your question there, and we'll get it on air. So what have been the most interesting, fascinating, or absurd conversations this week on Matt Connerton Unleashed? Give us the highlights.
Well, you know, the other day, I very much dedicated my show to the celebration of the ousting of John Bolton and his very frightening mustache, which it was wonderful to see. Although, interesting, I'll be curious to hear what John Bolton has to say in the future about his ousting, because there seems to be a bit of a contradiction. Trump claiming he fired Bolton and Bolton saying he offered his resignation the night before, and Trump said, no, we'll talk about it tomorrow, and I'll be curious to hear what John Bolton has to say in the future, but very exciting to see John Bolton gone. So that's kind of dominated the discussion this week. I played a couple of songs. What did I play? Oh, I played, my favorite band is Kiss. I'll use any excuse I can find to play a Kiss song. So one of the songs I played in honor of John Bolton was called Dance All Over Your Face. It's from the Lick It Up album. But, I had a lot of fun with that the other day. It's good to see. Do you know my theory about John Bolton, Dr. Kevin? Have I ever shared that with you?
No. Please. Theorize.
Well, I have a theory, and my listeners know this from my show, that John Bolton himself is probably not a bad guy. And I like to think that he's probably this, you know, just kind of this granola eating hippie dude. And then one day, many decades ago, he was walking through the woods and a creature that looks like a mustache, that's actually a parasite, saw him and leapt at him from a tree and affixed itself to John Bolton's face. And that it's actually the mustache that controls the deeds and words of John Bolton and makes him the warmonger that we all perceive him to be. And I believe the mustache has a name, and the name is Steve. And the reason I think that is because there was a story very early in Bolton's tenure in the Trump administration that Trump kept calling him Steve instead of John. Couldn't get his name right. For some reason, he kept calling him Steve. So what I think is Trump, because he is such a stable genius, I think he figured out what was really going on and that the name of the mustache is Steve, and that's why he kept calling him that.
Okay.
So that's my theory. I think it sounds perfectly plausible, but you sound skeptical, but that's all right.
Well, you know, all I could think of was those people that say it was Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. I don't know. The whole
right.
time you were talking, that's all I could think about. But anyway, you know, maybe. I mean, I would never want to think that he played, as they say, that he played for my team. because I think that my team gets enough bad press as it is.
All right.
Yeah. So anyways, very interesting thought process.
Thank you. It's kind of a running bit on my show.
It is. And one of these days it's going to run right out the door. The door is going to close behind it and it will never be missed. No.
Well, maybe.
So, John Bolton is not a man that has been known to hold his opinions to himself. He is very outspoken, and he is not – I would not see him as somebody that is easily intimidated. So
right.
we will see as he joins McMaster and a whole list of other luminaries and not quite so bright stars – as they do their how difficult it was to work in the Trump White House memoirs or speak outs or interviews. He'll pop up somewhere and talk about the crazy man in the White House, I'm sure. Of course,
well, maybe not, because hardly anyone else does, if you think about it. Like a couple of them do, like Scaramucci or Omarosa. But for the most part, they keep their mouths shut. Like Mattis wrote that book, but he never even really directly addresses Trump. It's like they don't, you know, we got an election coming and they're all a bit too quiet, I think.
So what do you think, talking about the election coming, what do you think about this whole thing going on with states refusing to hold any kind of space for people challenging Trump?
So, yeah, I'm glad you asked me about that. I've been wanting to talk about that on my own show, in fact, and I haven't even gotten to it yet there because, you know, there's always so much going on at once, but I can address it here. I have mixed feelings about it. The pragmatist in me says, well, what's it matter? Obviously, Trump is going to be the nominee. So to have a Republican primary, I mean, you don't beat an incumbent president in a primary anyway, although Pat Buchanan came perilously close to beating George H.W. Bush in the New Hampshire primary in 92, but of course, you know, HW is still the nominee for re-election.
So the pragmatist in me says, well, yeah, if they don't want to hold the primary, it'll save a lot of time and effort and taxpayer money to be paid for it. And you know, what people tend to forget is, you know, that the parties are technically, they are private organizations. So really, it's they can select their nominee however they want to. I mean, in theory, they would have the right to cancel all the primaries and just do the convention and whatnot, if they even want to bother with that. So that's what the pragmatist in me says. On the other hand, the person in me who actually cares tremendously about democracy says the opposite and says, well, no, you have to give people the opportunity to challenge the president in the primary, and to not do so, to refuse to do that, is simply undemocratic. And that's not right. So I genuinely am conflicted. Like I said, the pragmatist in me says, well, we all know Trump's going to be the nominee, so why go through this exercise, this dog and pony show? But the Democrat, no, small D Democrat in this case, says, no, you still have to do this. You still have to go through the process and give challengers a chance. And, you know, gun to my head, the Democrat in me wins, and, you know, because I do care about democracy and I do care about having the process, and I do think it's important, but to me, it's something upon which reasonable people can disagree, because I can see where, you know, those in charge of the process would say, you know, why bother with all of this? You know, let's just skip it. So those are my feelings.
Well, you know, he can be challenged by, in fact, the RNC, I believe, cannot cancel his being challenged in New Hampshire or Iowa.
Yeah.
They have to, it's state law. It has to happen.
Yeah. Oh, I've actually, now that you mention it, I mean, I was thinking about switching my registration to Republican just so I can vote against him, vote for Bill Weld.
Well, there we go. There's an interesting way to look at it. Do you think that would do more good than voting for the Democratic candidate to make sure that they get in? Because you are an anyone but Trumper now, aren't you? You weren't for a long time. You were like, well, let's give him a chance. Let's give him another chance. But at some point, you became an anyone but Trumper, I believe, or correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I wouldn't say I was ever really like, let's give him a chance. I mean, I do try to see the glasses half full and try to keep an open mind, but I don't know if I ever
said. When you say, yeah, I know I can pull the tape, Matt. You said, let's give the guy a chance. I have my doubts, but let's give the guy a chance.
I may have said, let's give the guy a chance in the context of, well, he's been elected. We kind of don't have a choice. So let's see how this goes. I may have said that. Yeah. You know, but I do like Bill Weld. I mean, when Bill Weld, you know, I tend to be kind of moderate in my politics. And when Bill Weld was governor of Massachusetts, I remember kind of looking at him and thinking, this guy's about as liberal as you can be and still get away with calling yourself as a Republican. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a line, he's right at the line. Granted, a Massachusetts Republican isn't the same as, you know, a Republican from almost anywhere else in the country. I recognize that. But I do like Bill Weld, and technically I did vote for him in the last presidential election, because I voted for in 2016. I didn't vote for Trump or Hillary. I voted for Gary Johnson, and Bill Weld was his running mate. So I don't know. I might do that. Because as far as in the Democratic primary, I don't know. I mean, my candidate's Tulsi. That's who I like the best, but she has zero chance. So maybe I'll switch over and vote for Weld. I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because I would love to see Weld declare an independent third party ticket. Because like you said, you can't get elected a big office in Massachusetts without being a liberal Republican.
Oh yeah.
Ultra conservative doesn't work.
No.
Just like you have to be a conservative Democrat to get elected in Alabama.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know.
Yeah. So, Doug Jones is no liberal.
No.
Right.
And so, it is. So it would be very interesting to see a third party challenger that moderate Republicans who can't stand Trump, and that's an ever-growing mm-hmm. number, that might not want to vote for whoever is on the Democratic ticket, you know, whoever that may be,
yeah.
Mayor Pete.
Yeah.
I'm going to a watch party, a Mayor Pete watch party tonight to watch the debate.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's cool.
But anyways, I think Weld would be interesting, because if Weld went as an independent, it definitely increases the chances of a Democrat getting elected.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's not going to take Democratic votes. And so I don't think the Republican Party should tick him off too much, because he might just go independent. And then they're screwed.
Right.
And we'll be right back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one om at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, I'm calling this episode The Beat Goes On, as Matt Connerton and I pick up where we left off last week to talk about the things going on in the world of the crazy and absurd world of politics. You know, even George Orwell couldn't have written a book to predict what's going on right now in our current political climate. What do you think, Matt? Do you think George Orwell could have predicted what we're stuck with right now?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's always been, you know, I had always kind of wondered, even growing up, because I got interested in politics at an unhealthily young age. I'd always kind of wondered, what would happen if a celebrity, someone who had never held political office, but just a mainstream celebrity, what would happen if they ran for president? Would they win? And I guess we found out.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to question that Trump is a celebrity. But I don't think it's also your perhaps typical celebrity.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, he's a shyster, but besides that, you know, he's a con artist.
And yes.
He's a famous con artist, and not all celebrities are con artists. You know, some only play it as a, you know, Jessica Rabbit say? I was drawn that way when they talk about how bad she is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you can have actors and celebrities that play horrible roles, but are truly nice people and very intelligent. And I always liked Al, the guy that they forced out in Wisconsin, Al. He was a congressman.
Al Franken in Minnesota?
Franken. Minnesota, Al Franken. I was like him.
Yeah.
I thought that that was a disservice. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why I could never support Kristen Gillibrand, because I think that she rushed too fast to the guilty button. Anyways. Other topics. So now, what do you think about the whole thing going on with Trump and his so compassionate comments about 9/11 when it happened? And will it make any difference?
What are you referring to specifically?
About when the Twin Towers, his first response after his first public response on the record after 9/11 originally happened was, well, I had the second tallest building in New York and now I have the tallest.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's typical Trump. But will that make any difference? Like, no, I mean, no one who supports him cares, you know, they love him no matter what. What doesn't make any difference, and it'll be, you know, it'll be forgotten about pretty quick anyway, because we'll be on to the next whatever Trump says next, that's either unearthed from the past or is in the present. No, it makes no difference. But it is so typical Trump, you know. I mean, I suppose it shows that he's, in a way, it does tell us something, though. It kind of reminds everyone that he's always been that guy. Like, he's always been a narcissist. It's not like a new thing or something that he sort of turned into later in life. You know, he's always been that guy.
So we have the there was something I saw, and I actually posted it. I wasn't sure how much guff, so to speak, I was going to get for it, because, you know, I have a wide variety of people that, you know, like my page and follow me, and I'm certainly not a straight up liberal only are on my Facebook from a long shot. In fact, a mutual friend of ours recently took issue because I told him that I could not stomach him defending Trump in indefensible issues. And
a mutual friend of ours?
Yes.
Okay. I bet I know who.
Oh, yeah. You know who. You know who. Okay. We've shared a stage together, the three of us.
Yeah. Okay.
But this was posted, and I actually, I have it on my Facebook page, my personal one. I am going to share it over to the Dr. Kevin page, so people that are looking for it, can find it. But it says, people think I'm mean to hold Trump supporters responsible for the despicable support of this POS. But here is a far from comprehensive list of why, from Douglas Freeman to respond in his response to Mark McGee. An anguished question from a Trump supporter. Why do liberals think Trump supporters are stupid? Have you seen this, Matt, what I'm talking about?
No. Did you say, though, that I can look at – you said you just shared it to the Dr. Kevin show page?
No, to the My Dr. Kevin page.
Okay.
And so wait a second, because I see that it didn't take. So I want to make sure it does, because I want to put it right underneath our TV show. We're having a TV show again, Matt. Did you know that?
Oh my goodness. Wow. Oh.
Yeah. We're launching a new TV show.
Okay.
Okay. I just thought I'd let you know. So anyways, so here's the answer to the question of why, and I just did post it on the Dr. Kevin page. So why do liberals think Trump supporters are stupid? The serious answer, here's what we really think about Trump supporters. The rich, the poor, the malignant, and the innocently well-meaning, the ones who think and the ones who don't. That when you first saw a man who owned a fraudulent university intent on scamming poor people, you thought, fine. When you saw a man who'd made it his business practice to stiff his creditors, you said, okay. Then when you heard him proudly brag about his own history of sexual abuse, you said, no problem. Then when he made up stories about seeing Muslim Americans in the thousands sharing the destruction of the World Trade Center, you said, not an issue. That when you saw him brag about that he could shoot a man on Fifth Avenue and you wouldn't care, you chirped, he sure knows me. That when you heard him illustrate his own character by telling the cute story about the elderly guest bleeding on the floor at his country club, the story about how he turned his back and how it was an imposition on him, you said, that's cool. That when you saw him mock the disabled, you thought it was the funniest thing you ever saw. That when you heard him brag that he doesn't read books, you said, well, who has time? That when the Central Park Five were compensated as innocent men convicted of a crime they didn't commit, and that he angrily said that they should still be in prison, you said, that makes sense. That when you heard him tell his supporters to beat up protesters, that he would hire attorneys, you thought, yes. That when you heard him tell one rally to confiscate a man's coat before throwing him out into freezing cold, you said, what a great guy. That you have watched the parade of neo-Nazis and white supremacists with whom he curries favor while refusing to condemn outright Nazis, and you have said, thumbs up. That you hear him unable to talk to foreign dignitaries without insulting their countries and demanding that they praise his electoral win. You say, that's the way I want my president to be. That you have watched him remove expertise from all layers of government in favor of people who make money off eliminating protections in the industries they're supposed to be regulating. And you said, what a genius. That you've heard him continue to profit from his businesses in part by leveraging his position as president to the point of overcharging the Secret Service for space and the properties he owns, you said, that's smart. That you have heard him say that it was difficult to help Puerto Rico because it was in the middle of the water, and you have said, that makes sense. That you've seen him start fights with every country from Canada to New Zealand while praising Russia and, quote, falling in love with the dictator of North Korea, and you said, that's statesmanship. That Trump separated children from their families and put them in cages, managed to lose track of 1,500 kids, has opened a tent city incarceration camp in the desert in Texas. He explains that they're just animals. And you say, well, okay then. that you have witnessed all of the 1001 other manifestations of corruption and low moral character and outright animalistic rudeness and contempt for you, the working American voter, and you still show up grinning, wearing your MAGA hats and threatening to beat up anybody who says otherwise. When you don't get, what you don't get, Trump supporters in 2019, is that succumbing to the frustration and thinking of you as stupid may be wrong and unhelpful, but it's also, hear me, charitable. Because if you're not stupid, we must turn to other explanations, and most of them are less flattering.
Mm.
What do you think?
Wow, that's good.
Yep, it was.
Yeah.
Doug Freeman's in response to Mark McGee, who is the one that asked, "Why do you think liberals, Trump supporters, are stupid?" And you know, I read it, and I've posted it, and I've shared it, and I wanted to read it on air because. Tell me any of those things are, what's the term? Fake news?
Right. they do try to, there are some things though, where they will tell you, like, one that stands out to me is his mocking of a disabled reporter. I've noticed in my interactions with MAGA people, they will deny that happened by simply saying, oh, that's how he makes fun of everybody, which, of course, is not true. But there's actually a guy on YouTube and a certain MAGA person, not the one you were referring to earlier, but sent me a link to this. There's a guy who even made a documentary that's like 10 or 15 minutes long that's on YouTube, which tries to prove that Trump historically uses those same hand motions to mock everybody. And this guy just ties himself into a pretzel trying to demonstrate this. And of course it's just BS. You know, of course he mocked a disabled reporter. It's clear that that's what he did, but some things they just won't believe them. And there's other things that they're just perfectly fine with, you know, like like after the send her back chance that happened at that rally in North Carolina, which infuriated me, you know, I talked to my Republican friends, and it's like some of them, it's like they just don't get it. They literally don't get what's racist about it. It's like the way their brains are wired. It isn't even that they think it's okay to be racist. They just don't understand why it's racist, which is just as bad. But it's like they don't get it, you know?
White supremacy at its best.
Mm. Yeah.
It is. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of understanding that how people not of privilege experience the country. I read a very interesting thing, and I'm not sure if you saw it or not, but I read a very interesting thing at about the problems that Elizabeth Warren had with Obama.
Yeah.
And the problems with his administration, and that's why she ran for Senate, and that she made statements that the reason why the stuff that the people, I think she said Steve Shemansky and there was some other name, that the reason why it didn't take hold and have the benefits it could have had was because it was a top-down approach. It wasn't the approach from the person that is struggling with two jobs to try to buy food and pay rent and then has to struggle with a student loan and has to choose which one, you know? Some of these, what is it, 99% of the people that were supposedly eligible for loan payment to go away, for their loans to go away. Loan forgiveness. 99% were refused.
Wow.
99% were refused. because they made the requirements so ridiculous that they could throw it out on the littlest thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they set these things up to say they're going to help, and this is our, and we're going to do this for you, and then they make it impossible for you to use it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But they keep the bragging right. Well, we set up a forgiveness program. You know, you have to be the love child of Mother Teresa and Jesus to qualify for
right.
it. You know,
right,
we
right.
need, you know, and we need DNA proof, but we have one. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of what I think it's very interesting because I didn't realize it. You sound like you were very well aware of it, and you were probably more into politics back then because you've always been into politics than I was. But I didn't realize that Warren had such a problem with Obama and was so challenging and was such a thorn in his side until I read this article.
Yeah, well, so I didn't know about that specifically, but I do know. I do know in a broader sense, because you know Elizabeth Warren. I mean, she's very liberal, and she's, you know, she has all these ideas for government programs and policies and so forth. Whereas Obama, to the contrary of how Republicans like to describe him, Obama really very much just kind of a moderate sort of corporate. Centrist Midwestern Democrat, you know, Obama, not the most liberal guy. And I mean, and he certainly, by the way, had no appetite to try to prosecute anybody for the malfeasance that that contributed to the Great Recession, you know, and it's not hard to figure that one out. By the way, it was Wall Street and the financial sector that paid for his campaign. So, of course, he didn't want to hold any of those people accountable, even though he said he would. And that was a broken promise by him. Whereas Elizabeth Warren did want to hold those people accountable. So in a broader sense, I'm not surprised that there is a lot of daylight between Elizabeth Warren and Obama and some of the criticisms that she's had of him and his administration. But I did not know about that specifically, about the loan forgiveness issue.
And the loan commitment issue is happening now. But yeah,
right.
We'll be right back with Matt Connerton for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. And this week we are doing a show called And the Beat Goes On, and the beat goes on between Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and myself, as we continue to talk about the absurdity of politics and the current state of things. And you can hear Matt Connerton on his Drive Time show from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, at 95.3 or WMNH, or you can go to IPMnation.com, and you can call in and you can listen to it, where he has a running dialogue going about politics. But we like to have him over here to help share some of what he's digested so that he can cough it back up and share it with the Dr. Kevin listeners.
Oh, my.
Matt, start coughing. No. So I went to the New Hampshire Democratic Convention. I wasn't a delegate, because a delegate has an official position. I got to find out. I might be interested in becoming a delegate for Nashua. I don't know. But it was interesting. I was there. I went on Friday night to a little party with Chasten Buttigieg, where he spoke. And then we got a chance to spend – I got a chance to talk with him privately for a little bit. It was definitely a growing group. And then I went in at 6 in the morning with my mother-in-law, and who's another Pete fan. And we went in and we held signs and we cheered him on. And you may have noticed there's now a picture on my profile, a picture of him, me, and Chasten from that event.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I listened to, all the candidates that showed up. I think there was a couple that didn't show up. They kept him to 20 minutes each, and they interspersed him with state candidates, Gene Shaheen and Chris Pappas and Maggie Hassan and, you know, different people. And they had some national level from the National Democratic Party and stuff like this. They did it in alphabetical order. So Biden went first.
Oh, okay.
Biden, Booker, and Buttigieg. And at the end of the day, you had Sanders and Warren, and then I actually didn't stay for the last two, was Williamson and Yang.
From what I hear, nobody did. From what someone told me, that there was a mass exodus after Elizabeth Warren.
Yep. She was, I will say that she absolutely had the longest ovations. There was the most energy. She definitely more than Sanders, more than Biden. She really rocked the house down. But I will say that after Mayor, because I was in the Mayor Pete section, a delegate from up front, a couple of speakers later, wandered back and said, "I have to tell you, you were the loudest, most consistent section of anybody so far." But that was before Warren spoke. That we were loud and we were heard, and they could hear. She said, "I was all the way up front and I could hear you guys." I don't know if you saw it. I posted it on my timeline. It was a great talk. It was probably the best one I've seen him do. He jumped up. What I saw today was after that, he jumped up something like 10 points in the polls in New Hampshire.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And Biden is dropping and Warren is rising and Sanders is dropping, but Warren and Buttigieg both went up. And it looks like Biden and Sanders both took a hit from where they were before the New Hampshire Democratic Convention, and everybody else kind of fell underneath them, which is what's happening. And I think unless Kamala Harris comes out today and, finds a way to gained popularity through attacking Joe Biden again, that, you know, she slid down the scale a little bit too. But it was very interesting because I thought that there was a couple of candidates that were starting to have things in their talk that I went, they're positioning themselves to be chosen for VP. They know that they're not going to make it.
Oh, sure.
and you could just tell a little bit by the talk. I have to say, after hearing the same thing, I gave down points to the people that all they could talk about was why they were better than Trump, but didn't have any substance in their speech. I could bring the Loch Ness Monster onto the stage and have it breathe fire, and it would be better than Trump. So that's unimpressive to me. Saying you're better than Trump is saying that, you know, you're better than getting the bubonic plague. So that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But the ones that kind of spelled out what they were going to do or how they were going to do it or when they were going to do it or this was their stand and this, you know, I did find it interesting. When I heard Cory Booker speak, of course, he had to work in at least one Martin Luther King comment and he had to work in one Maya Angelou comment. And I went, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah. He's very earnest.
Yeah. So anyways, but it was an interesting experience. I actually enjoyed myself. I went to the picnic afterwards. I taped Mayor Pete speaking afterwards. I posted that on my timeline as well. So if you haven't watched either one of those, feel free. I know you're a Tulsi fan and you're thinking of going for Weld, which in some ways would be beneficial. Again, go Weld, run independent, go Weld, run independent. I'm all for it. I'm willing to start the cheer. Can we put out the hashtag Weld for President independent?
It may be a little soon. Maybe a little soon for that. You know what I mean? I mean, let's see how he does in New Hampshire first, at least. You know what I mean? Let's see how he does.
Do you think, because it's questionable what kind of support, there are still some people in New Hampshire, and of course it's not going to change the Trumpeteers, which is the Trump version of the Musketeers, only far less cute. You're not going to, as you said, you're not going to convince the Trumpeteers, but there's still some bad feelings about some of the stuff that Trump said when he lost New Hampshire to Hillary and the accusations he made and calling the state a drug infested den, blah, 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 blah. And those comments are obviously all came up at the New Hampshire Democratic Convention. So I think that there might be some spiteful people, even Republicans in New Hampshire, that with somebody like Weld on the ballot might just vote him up because they don't think that Trump really is going to do anything but be the candidate, but might stick the thing in. And of course, you know that this is going to drive our narcissist in chief crazy. If he loses any of the primaries, I mean, you know, his poor fingers are going to be twitted to death in the next 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which would be wonderful to see. I don't know, though. I mean, I haven't met too many MAGA people who seem to be bothered by Trump's comments about New Hampshire in the past. I think a lot of them just take the attitude of, oh, he's right. Look at the heroin. I don't know. I'd love to see Weld take a bite out of him in the primary, but I just don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what, when Trump came here to speak, I mean, there were people, we were talking about this on my show earlier, you know, there were people outside, thousands of them, who couldn't even get in because there was such a big crowd. So, I don't know. There's a lot of enthusiasm here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, it's very, very hard to turn anybody against Trump. I shared out an article the other day about these farmers in the Midwest who, you know, they're being decimated by Trump's trade war. But who do they blame? They don't blame Trump. They figure out a way to blame Washington, some of, you know, they blame Congress. They blame biofuel. They're sticking by Trump, even though Trump is destroying their lives. It's incredible. I mean, how do you beat somebody like that who has that kind of a hold over this cult that he's created?
Now, what did you think of the Samantha Bee? Have you seen the Samantha Bee full frontal on the documented ex-Trump employees detail alleged abuses for working for his properties?
No, I haven't seen. I mean, I've seen that show, but I haven't seen that segment specifically. No.
It may be a brand new one, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I'm getting the impression that it may have just come out.
Okay.
But I read a few things that were on it that was definitely interesting. About, you know, they're showing up with payroll stubs from the Trump organization. They're having physical evidence that they went out of their way to hire undocumented immigrants, and it wasn't until he started running for president that changed, and that he actually gave them money to go get forged document immigration papers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's interesting. Wow.
Another potential legal mess waiting for him on the other side, because, you know, again, they're saying that, you know, they've got a lot of physical evidence, and they were treated poorly and abusively, and have evidence of, like, working overtime without getting compensated for overtime because they were told if they complained that immigration would be called.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch the special, but I think it probably would be worth watching. Have you seen the Valerie Plame ad?
I haven't seen the ad. I saw something about it that it's, pretty interesting, but I haven't had a chance to watch the ad itself yet, but I hear it's quite impressive.
Yeah, it is. And of course there's some, you know, she drives like a race car driver.
Yeah.
As the whole soundtrack is going. And I think the last thing is one of the last things that she says is something about, and yes, when you work for the CIA, they do that. Of course, Trump pardoned Scooter Libby.
Yep.
And she said that was what made her get into it, was after he ruined her career as an act of spite because of her husband.
Yeah.
That made her move forward into, and she's like, and something about it at the end that, Donald, I'm coming after you. You should watch the ad. It's short, but it's funny. I will. If I can find it, I'm going to post it on my, I'll post it on my line, because it just was like, oh my. How much, what do you think? And I like to ask you this on a semi-regular basis. I asked you a couple of months ago, but I didn't ask you last time, and I didn't ask you last week. What do you think it will take for a Democrat to win in 2020?
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's got to be somebody who is who's tough, who can really kind of stand up to Trump in the debates. I don't think it's Biden. I don't think it's, I don't, I think it would be a mistake to nominate Biden. I'm not sure. It's very, very tough because I keep going back to, I don't think you can. I hate to say it, but my prediction has been and continues to be, I think he will lose the popular vote, probably by an even larger margin this time. But I think he'll carry all the same states, because there's nothing he can do that upsets his base. You know, I always go back to the thing with the farmers. He's single-handedly ruining the agriculture sector in this country. And polling data shows they still overwhelmingly support him. So when you have someone like Donald Trump, if you're a Trump supporter, Donald Trump can ruin your life and you'll still vote for him. I don't know how you beat somebody like that.